Good afternoon and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from the Palms. I'm Sean Coffey alongside with Matt Tritton as we talk Northwest Athletics for the next hour. And Matt, I guess the first thing we need to talk about, Northwest Missouri State men's basketball, their 11th straight MIAA regular season championship. And that is just something that I think is just unheard of.
It really is to be able to go on a run like that, too. And, you know, we talk about it a lot. And for the folks that have come out and watched the MIAA games this year, it is a highly competitive conference. There are great coaches all around, recruiting all kinds of talent from across the country coming into this league because they know how good it is. And yet Northwest Missouri State continues to dominate. So, you know, to win it two or three times in a row is really difficult to do. But to do it 11 consecutive years, just wild. You know, I know you talked to Coach Mack after the game just about how impressive this team has been, because there have been doubters across the board of a couple early losses, battling some injuries. It's tough conference, yet Northwest still finds a way to come out on top, sitting at 18-2 in conference play, and still two more games left to go in the regular season. So it has been a wild ride, and of course to be able to do it on Northwest's home floor against rival Missouri Western really made for a pretty special evening.
Yeah, everything kind of came together to make it just a great afternoon.
It really did. And, you know, you look at Missouri Western as a team that beat the Bearcats in St. Joe earlier in the year. They hung around. You know, they didn't allow Northwest to come out and blow them out as a 10-point game at one point, and they came back down, got a 3-point play to get it back to 7, and kind of hung around right there. So not an easy game by any means, but this is a team that Northwest Missouri State has dominated through the years and able to get it done. So pretty fun to see, and, you know, the largest crowd of the year for Northwest basketball, 2,200 in attendance for that game. So I know we enjoyed it. Here the spectators did as well, especially getting to see those nets get cut down once again.
Yeah, never gets old, that's for sure.
Not at all.
And hopefully we'll see a couple more of those ceremonies before everything's said and done at the end of the year.
You know, we're just a couple weeks out from the MIAA tournament rolling around in Kansas City, and the Bearcat fans always show up so well for that postseason tournament. We see it really have been spoiled by the Bearcats in Kansas City as well. But before we get there yet, we've still got Missouri Southern on Saturday. Before that, we've got Edmond, Oklahoma with Central Oklahoma coming up on Thursday. A couple tough matchups really on both sides.
Yeah, that Central Oklahoma team, it looks like on paper they've got as much talent as anybody in the MIAA. They just went through a rough January, really, where they just have struggled to come up with wins in the month of January. And I think they're back playing some pretty good basketball right now.
Oh, for sure. And you look at it, Jaden Wells averaged 32 points per game across two games last week. I mean, we knew coming into the year he's one of the best guards in the conference, and he's starting to stack some of those games. It just kind of feels like UCO, unless they make a run through the MIAA tournament, are going to miss the NCAA tournament. So a team that was so highly favored coming into the year has fallen on some hard times. They kind of went through the grind that is the MIAA and just kind of got chewed up and spit out the other side. But you know, with the Bearcats in town, they're going to get everybody fired up for that game. We usually see a really good crowd for UCO when we head down to Edmond, so not an easy place to play. It'll be kind of fun to see how the Bearcats respond to that, and how does UCO respond if Northwest comes out, throws the first punch? Are they at the point where they kind of start to reel a little bit, or are they going to hang in there for 40 minutes?
Yeah, and I think another point, too, when you talk about Bearcat men's basketball, with two games left, you've already got one of the goals already checked off with that regular season title, but you can't really let up right now, because not only getting ready for the conference tournament in the next week, but still playing for some positioning within the Central Region as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned.
For sure, and that's what doesn't allow you to really take this week too lightly, even though you have locked up the conference tournament. You know, first of all, I don't think there's any way Northwest misses the region tournament, but we saw Missouri Western women's basketball finish second in the regular season and then get beat in the quarterfinals of the MIAA tournament, missed it completely. Now the Bearcats won the regular season. That's not an automatic bid, but you still feel pretty good about things there. Well, the Bearcats obviously don't want to leave anything to doubt. And there's a chance, too, if you get a couple breaks, you keep on winning, win the conference tournament, maybe that tournament does find its way back to Maryville. Might be a long shot at this point. We'll see how it breaks. We'll see some region rankings coming down once again this week. But that is something that Northwest is kind of looking at. Of you just never know how that quite plays out.
Now, on the women's side, a tough loss to Missouri Western on Saturday. But, again, you look at their season, 20 wins already on the year, and so many good things have come out of this year. And still, you look ahead, a lot of good things still out there for Northwest to accomplish on the women's side.
yeah, that's one of the hard parts about one of those weeks with just a single game is that you lose that one game. It kind of feels like it's a tough week overall, and it was going against a good Missouri Western team. The Griffins able to pick up that win here in Maryville. But again, like you said, 20-6, 14-6 in conference play. The Bearcats right now, they pick up two wins this week. They're rolling into the MIAA tournament as the two seed. So, you know, that 2-5 is still up for grabs between the Bearcats, Fort Hays State, Pittsburgh State, and Missouri Southern. So they don't want to leave anything to chance as far as going into the conference tournament. But they're also trying to really fortify their position as a team to make it into the NCAA tournament too. So it has been a really fun time to see both of these men's and women's basketball teams go throughout the regular season. But again, got to see some strong finishes, kind of for different reasons almost for both the men and the women, and they aren't easy roads, but you feel like the Bearcats 0-1 to UCO, who came into Maryville, got one on the women's side earlier this year, and the Bearcats have also played really well against Missouri Southern in recent years, so this could be two pretty fun games.
Yeah, it's a big week coming up, both of those on the road, and then look at track and field. The MIAA Indoor Championships were held this past weekend in Topeka, and for the Northwest women, a second-place finish as a team, and for the men, third, and six MIAA champions crowned during the last weekend.
Yeah, a really good showing, I think, for both of these men's and women's teams. The women were preseason second in the MIAA. They go and finish second. They got a terrific performance. We talked to Tiffany Huey last week, who is one of the best 400 runners. She is a top 400 runner in NCAA Division II. She put down a new PR running in 52.65 seconds. She won the 400 individually. On the men's side, they were picked fifth in the preseason polls. They come out and take third in the conference. I still think this is a team that Coach Masters is trying to stack things up just right. So when they head to Pitt State in a couple weeks for the NCAA Indoor National Championships, they'll have a chance to go in and do something pretty special. So should be good overall. We'll talk to Max Turan here coming up in just a little bit about the performances that we saw from the MIAA Championships over the weekend. But some really good things still ahead for this team.
Softball, they were in Topeka as well this past weekend. I think went 2-3 over the weekend, and they're 7-7 overall as they go into another tournament this upcoming weekend in Liberty with William Jewell hosting.
Yeah, and so it'll be fun to see how the Bearcats come out as they go once again on the road for the William Jewell Invitational coming up. But, you know, this last weekend, bookending it with wins. First, a 2-1 win over St. Cloud State, then an extra innings victory over Minnesota Crookston to round things out. You know, we talked to Coach last week about just how much of a barometer, I guess, we'd kind of look at this week as, because a lot of really good NSI teams Northwest had to take on. One of those being St. Cloud State, shut them down in the opener. Jaden Striegel pitched really well in her two outings of the weekend. So this is a team 7-7 right now on the season, but looking like good things ahead.
And for baseball, they opened up the weekend series at home last weekend, their home opener, an MIAA opener, with the win on Friday, then lost a couple of tough ones on Saturday and Sunday. But overall, I think baseball's off to a pretty good start, and they're in action today as with a non-conference matchup in Atchison, Kansas, facing Benedictine.
You know, MIAA Pitch of the Week, Quinn Mason, the first quality start of the year for the Bearcats in the opener against Emporia State, 11 strikeouts in 6 2/3 shutout innings. He was terrific, and, you know, they lost 2 of 3 through the series, and that's tough. But overall, you look at it, he scored 22 runs across a three-game series. Those bats continue to swing well, and you just feel like that's something that if they continue to swing at that level, the pitching's going to come around. They're going to win quite a few games.
Well, and then tennis was off last weekend. They go down to Springfield this upcoming weekend, a couple matches with Drury and also McKendry on Friday and Saturday. There we'll talk tennis as we come up on the show as well. So a lot to talk about coming up here from the Palms on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center,
Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at ConceptionAbbey.org.
Support for KXEV, KRNW, comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the Palms in downtown Maryville, part of the KXEV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are now talking Northwest Missouri State softball as we are joined by head coach Naomi Tellez, as well as a pair of sophomores, pitcher Jaden Striegel and right fielder Alexis Brown. Appreciate you two coming on and chatting with us, as well as coach, of course.
Yes.
Wrapping up a tough weekend, we go down and see the Washburn Invitational, Northwest with wins over St. Cloud State and Minnesota Crookston, kind of bookending the weekend overall. Losses to Winona State, Southwest Baptist, and Augustana. But, coach, overall, we talked last week that this is kind of a chance to have a bit of a measuring stick. Some really good NSIC teams in this weekend. What do you take away from this week overall?
I think the biggest thing is that from a pitching perspective, we improved on our free passes, our walks, and all that. But also, too, you know, we relied heavily on our defense. And, you know, on Saturday, kind of got away from us. But then we were able to kind of fix that on Sunday. Friday, we started out great. Jaden threw well. Our defense played spectacular behind her. Wind was blowing in, so nothing really left. But that was the polar opposite on Saturday. So,
Jaden, we'll start with the pitching there. A gem in the opener, a 2-1 win over St. Cloud State. You go seven innings, get the complete game. At what point did you kind of feel like you were really locked in on Friday?
Probably by the second inning when I saw how well the first inning went, and it just, I tried to keep the same mindset that I have. I have routines that I make sure I stick to, and I think just making sure that I hit every single one of those like superstitions, that it just gets my mindset where it needs to be.
Can you tell these superstitions on the air, or do they have to stay kind of to the side?
No, I just have to be the first one on the field. I can't wear sleeves. I noticed I do better without the sleeves under. Basically just be like the first one out there, the first one ready.
Alexis, who's the police in the dugout when Jaden's pitching that says don't walk out on the field just yet? She has to be out there.
Oh, I don't know. I think she just
knows. Sprints out
she
there.
She literally stands right by the dugout. Like, right, like, she is, as soon as that third out happens, she's right by the dugout.
It's not crazy or anything. It's just different, right?
She just wants to be the first one.
Well, we look at it, an unearned run comes across in the fourth. But outside of that, a runner reached second just twice and never third base in the other six innings. You were locked in throughout. But then we go to that last game of the weekend, too. You throw seven innings, but in relief this time, you kind of pulled that Madison Bumgarner against the Royals in 2014. You come out of the bullpen and just shove. How do those kind of differ whenever it's, hey, fresh start and go out there and tossing a, you know, one under run out there, as opposed to, all right, we're down by three. We got to hold this right where it is and give our offense a chance.
I kind of just went with the same mindset as Friday. It's a new game, and I went in. I knew there was runs on the board, but I just said I had to do what I had to do to get the game going how I think it needed to be.
Coach Tellez, Jaden comes out. She's terrific. She gets the win going seven innings in relief. On the comeback trail, things got started with Alexis with an RBI single. It's tied up with Alexis with an RBI double, and then she gets the bunt down, the bunt single. I mean, she was kind of at the center of everything.
Absolutely.
The go-ahead run as well. Can you speak to her weekend overall?
Yeah, I think, you know, for Lexi, the biggest thing is just being consistent. And this weekend, she was able to put one over the fence, too, as well as, you know, touch it and run and be really fast. You know, her and Lily at the top of the lineup are really our spark plugs. And unfortunately, right now, our power numbers are kind of slumping, but she's been consistent and sticking to her game. Always kind of the cheerleader, the dancer, and, you know, keeping us loose in the dugout.
Alexis, what do you take away from this, too? You know, last year I think you played in 25 games, but a lot of this is a pinch runner. Yeah. You're a freshman, getting your feet wet. Now all of a sudden, coach is plugging you in every game, right field, batting second, just going. Where does that confidence come from?
It really just came from my teammates and my trust. We had our scrimmages at the beginning, and I saw she moved me up in the lineup, and I was just kind of like, okay, I can do this now. Now let's be consistent. Let's get the bunts down. Let's hit it into the ground. And just with practicing a lot of that, we had a lot of hitting practices. We do hitting every day.
Yeah. You know, you kind of fit into a spot there batting second to where Lily gets on base and you're moving her around and she's going to score a few more runs. You're not the big bat necessarily. It's always going to drive her in, but that's such a key piece. you've hit safely in 12 of 14 games so far this year. Does it just kind of feel like you're at home despite not having any much previous college experience? You're just kind of going.
I do love Lily Bean ahead of me. I like how she hits, and looking after that, we're both being slappers, so whatever she does, I can read off of that. Also to know how fast she is on the bases, even if I just get the ball in play, she's going to do her thing, so that's really good comfort to knowing when I'm up to bat, too.
Coach, talking about the home run and how big that was, did you know, did you put a good swing on it, feel pretty good?
The swing, it felt good, yeah, and then I looked up at the ball, I was like, oh, it's kind of going far, and then I was like, oh, I got to run fast. Yeah.
The best part was to watch her run around the bases, and then I look in the stands, and her mom is losing it, and I was like, this is great, this is a moment.
It was my mom's birthday, so that was,
no
that was
oh,
a
even
present.
Better, yeah, even better.
At what point on the bases does it click in your mind, like, man, I gave her the best birthday present?
When I touched second and I saw my teammates run, but I saw her hands up over all of them.
Northwest Missouri State softball 7-7 on the season, getting set to play in the William Jewell tournament coming up this week. And we're talking with Coach Tagaz as well as Jaden Striegel and Alexis Brown. Coach, you look at these two sophomores that are playing a big part right now in this team as you're building things back up. What does it do for you when you do look at your roster and you see a core that involves these two players and know that there's a lot of good things ahead?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, it's just comforting knowing that we have strengths throughout. You know, we are going to lose six this year, but at the same time, we can look down to, you know, the juniors and the sophomores and understand that, like, this is something that hopefully, you know, lasts quite some time and not just for the present time.
Jaden, you've got a couple upperclassmen there within that pitching staff, too, that you can kind of lean on at times and talk to a little bit. You're pitching really well. How much of that kind of goes back to those discussions away from being on the field and those talks with coach and just kind of making sure that mentally you're right as you go into a start?
I think the upperclassmen actually have a lot of impact on how I do. Like, if I'm not doing well, they have a lot of impact. I see them every time, like, whether they're doing good or whether they're struggling a little bit. Every single one of them has a positive attitude after. They all cheer in the dugout. They all make sure they keep everyone else up and they don't just let it get to them.
Coach, I don't know if you noticed it, but just how insanely steady Jaden was this weekend in both of her outings.
Mm-hmm.
7 innings, no earned runs, 1 strikeout, 2 hits, 1 walk, 15 ground outs, and 5 flyouts. Like, exact same in both.
That's creepy.
That's insane.
That's weird. She was just talking about it earlier, though. She was like, it's funny that, you know, she got the win and only had 1 strikeout. But
hey, Alexis, from your perspective as a right fielder, not everything's going out to you, and a lot of them are just ground outs. But the fact that everybody's on their toes, the ball's going to be put in play, how much, for your perspective, is I prefer that over everything's a strikeout or a walk, and you're just kind of sitting back waiting?
Makes outfield a little more entertaining when we have balls hit to us. But I do love, like, just watching, like, us get a lot of ground outs and just getting the outs.
Is there just a feel whenever a pitcher's going that you can kind of tell someone's locked in by the first inning?
Yeah, our first game, it just felt like a real, like, fast-moving pace game. I mean, no team put up a bunch of runs on the board, but we were just, I don't know how to explain it. It was just like we were in it, we were zoned in, we were locked in.
It's one of those things that the competitor out there can feel it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you two from separate towns, Knoxville, Iowa, Des Moines, but you two have a bit of a history, right? Playing for Alliance Select. How far back does this relationship go?
I met Jaden. I came to that team when I was a sophomore in high school, but I think you were already there.
Yeah, I think it was my 8th grade year that I moved to the Alliance, and then we got put on the same team,
yeah.
I think, sophomore year, and then played, like, I think it was basically year-round together.
Yeah.
And Sarah Farlow, mm-hmm. also on that team, how much does a relationship play in you guys deciding where to go, or is it just so happened that Coach wanted all three and you wanted to go on your own?
Me and Sarah came on a visit here together. Coach asked about Jaden, and we're like, oh yeah, Jaden, she's our pitcher.
She's a good one.
Yeah.
I give them a lot of credit for why I'm here, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. So I honestly give Sarah and Lexi, like, the biggest thanks for, like, putting me on.
Was this part of your first recruiting class here, or the second?
Yeah, no, I think it was probably my first full recruiting class.
What were you looking for exactly? And are you kind of, like, you're getting what you expect when you're bringing those to Northwest?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, well, I was like, I need somebody fast, and that was Lexi. And then I was like, okay, I need somebody to put it over fence, and that was Sarah. And then I need somebody to throw strikes, and that's Jaden. So, you know, it's all kind of panning out, you know. And I think the biggest thing is just to see their maturity level from their freshman to their sophomore years. And, you know, you get them in high school, and you're like, okay, I think this kid's going to be great, you know. And it's just all panning out, and it's so fun to watch them grow.
I read a profile online that said that Jaden was pretty good two-way player. Does she ever ask you to hit?
Oh, all the time. All the time. Not yet, because I'm afraid, because then what if she does really good and then I got to put her in the lineup and I get scared?
It's good to have too many weapons, right?
Right. But if they throw shutouts, they do get pitcher batting practice. So.
Oh, very good. So do you hit bombs, Jason?
Well, we got to throw a shutout. When we throw a shutout, we'll be good.
So I think that if it's unearned, then you should have, right?
Well, that's not what they say.
I mean, I know, but I'm just saying, right?
No.
Yeah, I think so. Lambo said that I could do it the next practice, and then he said.
Well, Hunter's not here, so.
Yeah, I know.
He can't defend himself.
Northwest Missouri State softball on to the William Jewell tournament coming up this weekend. Coach Jaden, Alexis, thanks for the time. Good luck and safe travels on the road.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State head softball coach Naomi Tellez with us, as well as Jaden Striegel and Alexis Brown. The Bearcats 7-7 on the season. We'll step aside and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at maryvilleforum.com or at 660-562-2424. Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from The Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we turn our attention out to tennis, as we're joined by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State tennis team, Mark Roswell, along with a couple players off of his squad, and Kaylin Kleberad, and along with Michael Adelabois. And again, great to have all three of you here on the show for today.
Thank you, John.
And Mark, I know a little bit of a light week for you with no matches this past week, but your team got in a lot of good, solid time on the courts.
This weather has just been outstanding. And we are practicing, and practicing some more, John.
You know, I was talking to you yesterday. I think you were on to wrap up practice a little bit earlier than the players were.
I cannot get them off the court. I mean, yesterday they had a workout in the morning. Okay, that was before practice ever started, and they were out there at 2 o'clock. And I mean, you know, we went for 2 hours, which is surely enough. Nobody leaving. Okay, both teams out there continuing to practice, and this is like how it's been every day. They really do a lot on their own with the co-captains and seniors and such, and I really appreciate, I mean, they love it, you know.
Well, and again, for Kaylin and Michael, might talk a little bit about this too, but when you look at the type of weather we've had last week or so, I imagine you guys just want to get out there and just enjoy the weather and an opportunity to play outside for a while.
Yeah, I mean, anytime there's good weather, we're always going to be out there on the court. So just staying away from the cold, staying warm with this nice weather, and it's, yeah.
They couldn't ask for a better couple of 3 days. Unfortunately, it looks like we've got all four seasons wrapped up in a 24-hour period coming up right now. But at any rate, Mark, just kind of talk a bit about the season right now, up to the great start for both of these teams, 4-0 coming into this weekend.
Yeah, both teams, like I said before, and we've got a couple tough matches this weekend. Drury, former Northwest grad, Jared Smith down there, always has outstanding teams on both genders down there. And And then the second match that we're playing, McKendree, Illinois, they've had really good men's teams the last couple of years.
Now, Jared's kind of gone over to the dark side a little bit, too, with pickleball, hasn't he?
He has. They're going to be the first school, I think, in the country, if I understand it correctly, to have a NCAA, I guess is what it is, a pickleball team, college team. He went out and got a, I don't want to say a $2 million donation to get courts built, actually a couple tennis courts too and so forth. And then now he's going to go from the tennis to the pickleball next year.
All right. And Mark, just talk about our guests here today and what they bring to your team.
Two outstanding seniors. Kaylin's been with us for 4 years, and she's the ultimate team person. We were worried she was going to graduate in December, and now she's still had another year of eligibility. And I think she's going to really going to be important in our lineup this year because she's also a good doubles player. Right now she's sitting at number 7, but, you know, as many matches as we play and so forth, she's going to get a real chance this year. Our team was really pretty good last year. I mean, we were loaded on the women's side. And this year, thinner, not as many, so that gives her more opportunity. Michael came to us last year. He's also a senior, graduate student, whatever he's doing here, right? You know, finishing up. But he's a accomplished player from the NEIA. Just gives some of his statistics. In that last two ITA tournaments, he made it to the semifinals 2 years ago in singles, and turned around this year and went to the semifinals in doubles. So, and I mean, the competition level is very high, so we're very proud of that. And so he's double-sword weapon in singles and double. He's good in both.
And Kaylin and Michael, both of you kind of come from Northwest Missouri State, from different circles here just a little bit. Kaylin from Des Moines, and then Michael coming in from Italy. Michael, just tell us a little bit about your path to get to Northwest Missouri State.
Long, difficult, very ambitious path. That's 100% sure. I was born in the U.S., but then I grew up my entire life in Italy. I lived in Italy, played tennis. I started playing tennis when I was 8 and kept doing that. And then whenever I was 18, I was like, all right, maybe let's start doing it. Think a little bit more serious about coming in the U.S. So I started practicing even more. I started practicing 8-9 hours a day, every single day. And I got to the level where I could come in the U.S., but I had to go to an NAIA school, which I went to in Milwaukee. After a couple of years, I stayed in contact with a good friend of mine, a teammate, which is Andrea Zamori. And I knew him, and I contacted him, and he was like, well, you know what? We need a team. We need a teammate that could carry me a little bit on his back because sometimes he's a little bit injured. So I came last year, and I mean, I started the season very good, as Coach said, by going to the semifinals, and I was really, really, really close to get that to the final, just a couple games away. And this year, then now semifinals in doubles with my teammate winning against the number one in the country in Division Two in doubles. I mean, it's been going pretty good, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say so. I know it's been fun watching you be a part of the Northwest Missouri State team. And Kaylin, coming a short trip compared to a lot of your teammates just down from Dowling High School in Des Moines to Northwest Missouri State. And talk about what brought you here.
Yeah, well, I come from a family of tennis players. So I grew up playing tennis my whole life. And my parents kind of pushed me. They're like, let's see if you want to do tennis in college. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try. So I looked around at some schools, and this is one that I saw that I was like, oh, this could be a good fit. So I came here looking for recruitment, and I talked to then assistant coach Tanner, and he was like, okay, we'll take you. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
And I know I've had an opportunity to watch you play and practice and things through the years here. One of the things always stood out to me when watching you out there is just your willingness to help others on the team and to improve and things. And to me, I think that's something that really stands out for you.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing team sports, so I'm always the type of person that I not only want to improve myself, but I want to improve other people. So that's a really big principle in my life, that I want to help others as well. So just seeing my teammates improve, that's always something that I love to see.
She helped get Tessa's serve straightened out when she had that freshman year when she had trouble double faults. She almost never double faults anymore.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Coach also talked about you had maybe an opportunity to graduate in December and mm-hmm. kind of move on. Just talk about the decision to use this eligibility year you have here and come back this spring.
Yeah. So I had finished my undergraduate, like all of those courses and everything, so I could have graduated in December, but Coach gave me another opportunity to come back, and I was like, okay, let's take it, because if he's given me this opportunity, then that's something that I shouldn't pass up on, you know, getting another season with my teammates and friends. That's something that once you graduate, you can never get back. So I decided to stay again for the last season.
And one of the things that Mark has talked about on the women's side in particular is just how close the players are from maybe number one down to number six singles, and the same on the doubles side, where all of you really are right in that pack there, where it just the competition level just in practice has to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, yeah, so close, I think, skill-wise. So that's something that definitely helps us, because it helps us practice not even or practice harder, but it pushes us to want to, you know, beat each other a little bit more.
Yeah, and Michael, on the men's side, it looks like there's still quite a bit of competition among you guys as well this year.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that that's the healthiest thing in a team, like constantly having somebody that you want to beat, be better, but always, even as Kaylin was saying, helping each other out. Because, I mean, that's another way. Like, you try to always get better on yourself, but you push your teammates to constantly get better day by day. And that just pushed the level of the team, like, higher and higher every single year.
Let's get to know both of you a little bit off the courts as well. And you guys love to be on the courts as much as possible, as we talked a little bit about that already. But when you guys kind of get away from tennis a bit, what are some of the things you guys like to do?
Besides tennis, I'm a huge soccer fan, so that's one sport that I really enjoy doing. But besides that, I'm pretty athletic, so any sport that I can do, tennis, basketball, soccer, whatever, I'm always down to do.
Yeah, pretty much like Kaylin. I mean, Italy, it's such a soccer country, and I grew up playing soccer, and last fall, me and Kaylin as well, we're playing soccer with the rest of the teammates.
What?
We're grinding our condition, let's say.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely playing other sports, staying at home, like going a little bit around. I love to travel, so I go to Kansas City, go to Arkansas and stuff like that, hikes and so on.
No, playing soccer outside of tennis, you want to make sure you don't get injured playing soccer. That'd be harder to explain to coach, wouldn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, always, if you see somebody coming a little bit too hard, you give him the ball.
And Mark, how much fun are you having with this group right now?
John, I'm being honest here. I am just having an outstanding time. Most of these kids are seniors or graduate students, though, so they've been in the program. But, it's almost like I got half the team that are assistant coaches, co-captains, whatever. I mean, they're self-motivated, okay? If I'm not there on the courts, they're going to be out there practicing. I don't have to worry about working hard, and like we already talked about, once they get out there, they want to practice, and I mean they practice hard. And it's not just the tennis, it's the conditioning part. Mike got them started last year. I think it really helped us later when we got to the national tournament and all that, as far as just trying to be in the very best possible shape and try to do as well each match, you know, take them one at a time, and then at the end of the season, see what happens. If we can get in that postseason, which we usually do,
Yeah, and just the thing about, and I know we've talked about this in the past with other members of your teams, but just the way you guys pull for each other is kind of something special when you go to the matches, where a lot of times you're kind of on your own islands out there a little bit, and you kind of have to, it's nice to have a lot of support from your teammates in these matches.
Yeah, the teams, you know, there's no jealousy. They support each other, and that really helps. Like, now we're getting ready to go to Springfield and on our spring trip in Arkansas, where we're going to be playing a lot of people. There are not going to be very many Northwest people, if any, around watching as far as ways we're going to be. And they really do. They support each other. They talk about tennis. If one person can help another one, coaching each other, I mean, they do it all. It's, you know, we always talk about, hey, the family and stuff, but in this case, it's true. It really is.
Kaylin, what's the future look out for you after your playing days here?
Yeah, so I plan to go back to Iowa. I got a job with being a wildlife technician with Iowa State University, so I'm going to be there, like, working out in the environment, kind of identifying species and everything for, it's a multiple species inventory program is what they're doing there. And once I finish that seasonal work, I'm going to see if I can go for a master's, something with wildlife, but I haven't quite done a lot of research into that yet.
Now, you're coming from Dowling High School down here. It seemed to me there might be another athlete that's kind of making some noise right now, Caitlin Clark. Did you know Caitlin going through?
Yeah, so we were in the same class in high school. She's a senior right now, and also I'm a senior. And I had a few interactions with her, not like I wasn't close with her, but like 4 or 5 interactions with her. We played flag football together on a women's team one time, and we won that together, so that was pretty cool.
So is it safe to say that she's the second best athlete to come out of Dowling on the women's side after you?
I would say she's the first, probably.
She'd be a good one to keep in touch with right now, the way that looks like her future is coming here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, she's doing amazing out there at Iowa.
And Michael, what's the future look for you?
I already signed a contract to become a tennis director of a tennis academy for a pro program in Boston. So, which is the funny coincidence is that I was born in Boston, but then, you know, I went back to Italy and just going back to my roots pretty much.
I guess so. So how did you get from Boston to Italy and then, of course, now back to the U.S.?
So that's all because of my parents. My father was working here and my mother was just staying here. He's a Michelin star chef. So he was staying here, and he worked a long time, and they were living here, and then I was born, and then because of some complication with family back in Italy, we had to go back in Italy, and then we found out that the food over there was very, very, very good, and so they decided to stay.
Now, did you get any of the cooking skills then?
Definitely did, and I would say that my roommates are very lucky for that. Very lucky for that, and yes, but that's all. Thanks to my dad.
All right. Well, it's great having you all with us here on the show here today, and good luck to you the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Thank you,
John, as always. We appreciate it.
All right. Again, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's tennis team, Mark Rosewell, along with Kaylin Klobo-Red and also Michael Delabois on the men's side there. So, again, great having both of those with us here on the show. And we've got more coming up on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat Fanwear, as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV, KRNW, comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Back on the KXEV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, we are now talking Northwest Missouri State track and field as the indoor season wrapping up the MIAA championships last weekend. Now a couple weeks now from now, the NCAA championships coming up down in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Joined now by head coach Brandon Masters, as well as Max Turan, a sophomore from the team. And coach, the women finishing second at the championships, the men taking third. Good performances all around. What do you take away from that meet in Topeka?
Yeah, we knew we had a chance to be second on the women's side. We just had to go do our job. We didn't load all the girls up with, you know, two and three events, and so we knew we had some wiggle room there to pull out the second place. First was a little bit out of touch with our depth. We just don't have the depth to compete with Pittsburgh State right now. And on the men's side, we knew it was going to be a battle. Second through fifth was kind of a who knows. So we didn't do as well the first day for the men, but had a great talk with them. They got excited and really went to work day two and almost got back to second. We did end up third, so it was pretty great finish this indoor season for MIAAs.
Able to finish things strong there at the championships last weekend. Max joining us, 800 champion. You know, you start the prelims there in Topeka. You run it 151.84. And then you go through in the finals and shave off a second. You go ahead and win that. How much was that just kind of getting a feel for what this is like, the MIAA championships, the teams around you, but also that particular track, and then really putting things together in the finals?
Yes, so it was my first time this year running on a 200-meter track and 200-meter bank especially. It's really bank in Washburn, and yeah, kind of a feel for the prelims and yeah, I went out there, sat in second, and then at 300 to go, I just took over, and I won the prelims. The goal wasn't to win or do a time, it was just to make it to the final and then keep up some energy for the DMR and the final on the next day. So,
yeah, he had, you know, obviously prelims coming through, you just got to be top two, and DMR coming just a few hours later, so we need to make sure we had some juice in the legs and ready to go for that DMR 800. But you know, championship racing is a lot different than trying to race for a time, and Max is a guy that can do it many different ways and run fast many different ways, and because of his ability to race any particular plan, that makes him very dangerous at nationals as well.
How much does go into the game planning for something like this, too? Especially you mentioned it's not really worrying about hitting a certain time or something, just getting into finals. But when you do get into the championships, is it, you know, hey, let's get out of the gate right away? You mentioned the final 300 kind of taking things over and putting everybody away. How does that kind of go about an 800 game planning?
Well, you know, for Max, we're fortunate enough to have him and his foot speed, and he could be on our 4x4 as any time we need him. You know, he's got a lot of speed, and because of his ability to race, the 800's crazy, right? I mean, let's be real, especially indoors, 200 bank, it's a tight track, anything can happen. You'll have eight different race strategies, and the race will unfold on number nine, and that's just how things go. And we're fortunate enough to have, you know, Coach Wick really training. He really works with Max on, you know, because Max is a miler as well. So the strategy and the planning, if he could go through and in 158 be top two, we would have been happy. It didn't go out that way. He had to go a little faster than we wanted to in prelims, but you know, that's abilities that Max has that sets him apart from others.
How do you kind of judge that body wise? Whenever Coach mentioned you could run the 400, you're a miler, but running that 800, kind of trying to find that in between. Is this just something that you've been doing it long enough? You kind of know that sweet spot of where you need to be at and kind of flip that switch.
Not really. I feel like I wasn't super fast when I was younger, and I would just like the 800 was perfect because it was too long for the 1500, and I was not fast enough for the 400. So I just try out the 800 meters and training for it. I improved my speed and my endurance, so I ended up being able to run the 4 and the mile, and then 1500 too.
Yeah, Max is a guy that will split a 400. That's not typically how you run fast, but certainly not the way we coach it on the sprint side of things. But he's so strong that he might lose some ground in the first half of the race, but the second half of the race in the 400, he's coming on hard.
So take me through the DMR, too, because you think about getting that third leg and you see that 800 come around. How does that kind of it's a hard race in general, but within that relay and to see a guy like that that you know is going to take it and go and put you in a pretty strong position, feels like that is a very difficult part of that relay.
It is. The 4 and the 8 in the relay are interesting because, you know, really it comes down to the miler. You know, the first three legs are really just to set up the miler to go to work, right? So you either have to be really, really good in the first three legs to give your miler seconds off the front. I mean, a lot of seconds off the front. Otherwise, the group will get together and the mile group will get together and bring that guy back. So the first three legs are vitally important, but we want to be strategy-wise to really kind of set up that miler to be in a group and let the best miler win. You know, Wick's probably a better explanation, but that's pretty much what you've been told from Coach Wick.
Max, take me through what that was like to you guys go out and finish second in the DMR, and of course that's something we expect to see on down the line in the NCAA championships too, but transition, getting a feel for your teammates your first year on campus at Northwest Missouri State, and obviously the individual success, but then joining a team in the relay and punching that ticket there too.
Yeah, so doing it with the team is really interesting. Like, it brings more people. It's like more enjoyable when you win with a relay or like when you do a good time. It's not only you and yourself like celebrating. It's more like the team and just the whole team celebrating the relay. And yeah, for that race, we plan to like sit in second and then hopefully we can finish stronger. But we were facing a very strong runner and we lost at this game this time. But hopefully we win in 2 weeks at Nationals. So that's the goal.
Well, wrapping up the MIAA championships, and that was being held in Washburn. You know, they have a relatively new indoor facility there. And Coach, you kind of, you know this way better than I do, but when you think about that and how fast Hughes Fieldhouse is and the numbers that we see put up there, how does that compare to a bank track? And some of these longer runs to an 800 a mile and trying to do that on a bank track like that, how does that shift from what we see here to down there?
Well, Washburn's track is beautiful. It's not particularly fast, not compared to what we're used to in Hughes. I think the big difference is with a 200 bank and a bank as high as theirs. It's a huge bank. It's a maximum allowable. It's really, really big. So when you get into the distance races, there's simply more corners to navigate, right? I mean, 200 meters, we have, I don't know how many. I mean, sure, Wick knows the exact number of turns versus at Hughes, but the 300 flat is what we train on. It's wider curve, way wider curve, and you simply got to slow down around the curves a little bit. When you slow down around the curves and there's more curves to navigate, you're going to have a slower time. And so we're very comfortable because of how we train on 300 flat. So we're really excited to go into the championships at Pittsburgh because we know how to run on that. And that's going to be very I guess we run there a lot, and we run on 300 flat at home so that the kids should feel very comfortable.
Those NCAA championships coming up on March 8th and 9th in Pittsburgh, Kansas, as Coach mentioned. Max, you've run down in Pittsburgh already earlier this year. It's your first year in the MIAA. You've got some experience on that track. How big is that for you now, heading down, a chance to go in and win a gold for Northwest Missouri State on a place you're a bit familiar with?
I think it's a very good advantage to like know the track, know where to warm up, because you don't want to arrive there and be like stressed about like where to warm up, where to go to get your hymn numbers and stuff like that. And I think that's a big thing, like when you go to stressful events like Nationals, like know where to go, know what to do. And you also know the track. It's pretty similar to ours, maybe a bit older, but same type of races, 300 meters. And yeah, I think it's very good. That's where I've been there.
And the qualifiers for the national championships coming out a little bit later on today. Coach Masters, is this anxiety inducing? Are you pretty comfortable? You feel like you kind of just generally know the roadmap right now?
Previous years I'd have anxiety, but I pretty much know who's going to make it based on history. We feel very comfortable with our group and where we're sitting. There are a couple of people that are on the bubble, but we kind of know the outcome. It'll be a surprise. Hopefully one of them is a positive surprise, not a negative surprise, because there is one that I'm not quite sure yet. But for the most part, we know who's going, and we're excited for this team. It's a large team again. When you take both distance medley relays and both 4x4s, male and female, you're taking a big squad. And what Max said earlier, it's so important to have a team there. You're always going to do better in front of your team. And I've been part of national championships where it's me and one athlete. Not particularly fun for either of us. I'm sure the kid really didn't want to hang out with coach, you know, the whole weekend. So I think that's a big thing, is we're going to have, you know, a contingent of 20-plus athletes going, about 50-50 in a male, female. And it should be a lot of fun for them to have that. And it's close enough home that we will have a large group of our athletes and fans and people making the trip down to Pittsburgh to cheer us on. So you're always going to run better for your team when you're out on the track alone by yourself at an individual event. It's a little bit different when you have a baton in your hand or you have people in the crowd yelling and screaming for you. It's a really neat thing that our kids will get to enjoy this national championships.
I'd imagine some of those races you're trying to gut through a corner and all of a sudden you don't hear anything, as opposed to you've got a coach in your ear plus 100 people in addition. It makes a big difference.
It's a huge difference, absolutely.
Coach also, Tiffany Huey, running a personal best, a Northwest record, one of the fastest times all time in NCAA D2, of 52.65 in the 400, winning the MIAA championships. We talked to her last week, but, man, she just continues to impress.
It's unbelievable. And you know, it's funny, I was talking to some people just off air here, and she's got more to go. And that's the funny thing. She didn't even run once. She's running on a slower track with Washburn. Two, she didn't hit the race strategy quite where we wanted to hit the number midway through the race. And so I think there's more there, which is crazy to me, because 52.6 is unbelievable. And remember, she came in as a senior in high school running 58.5. So it's not like she just dropped from 54 to 52. I mean, that's a mind-blowing, unbelievable growth in the last couple of years. And it's a testament to her work ethic and her belief in the program.
You know, it's so fun to see, because we're seeing runners like Tiffany, that we've seen grow throughout that career and hit just some crazy numbers. We're seeing Max for the first year hit new personal bests, and just both teams have really been terrific all season long, and NCAA championships right around the corner as well. So, Coach, appreciate the time. Max, you as well. Good luck here in a couple weekends. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Brandon Masters and Max Tron with us here on the KXCV KLRN W Bearcat Coaches Show. We will step aside and be back with more on the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for KXCV KLRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers Oil carries a full line of feeds from Purina and Land O'Lakes, along with gates, water tanks, and bulk bins to fit a variety of needs. More information at consumersoilmaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Back on the KXCV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, we're talking Northwest Missouri State Bearcat basketball. We have Lindsay and Peyton Kelderman from the women's team, Byron Alexander from the men's team, as Northwest coming off one game last week. That was against Missouri Western. Now on the road to UCO and Missouri Southern coming up this weekend. And Byron will start with you. The chance to cut the nets down once again. Northwest, 11 straight MIAA regular season titles. Has that sunk in quite yet? I mean, how old were you 11 years ago when this started?
I mean,
middle school,
ago,
probably, right?
I was in middle school, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I wasn't here for those net-cutting ceremonies, but, I mean, the ones that I've been a part of, it's just, it's an amazing experience. And honestly, I can't get used to it, but, you know, it is nice. It's a nice feeling.
Bearcats with that win over Missouri Western to clinch an outright MIAA title. On the women's side, that was a tough game against the Griffins. They're ranked number 21 in the country. They're MIAA champions for a reason. The learning experience for Northwest as a team, what do you guys take away from that basketball game?
Yeah, I think for Missouri Western, that team is, they're a really athletic team. They're kind of different than every other team we face in our conference. So I think that was a good test for us. And just to kind of take this time to regroup and then get some extra motivation going into these last two games of regular season.
Lindsay, this is a team that it feels like it has grown with every step of the way and really hasn't dwelled on the previous game, win or loss. How do you kind of shift that mindset? Hey, tough game here. Last time we did this against Missouri Western, we dropped a game against UCO, now shifting down to Edmond and getting ready for them.
Yeah, I feel like we're definitely motivated for, especially since we did get that loss against UCO earlier in the season. So I feel like we're definitely motivated to get them and obviously Southern. So, yes, obviously Saturday didn't go the way we wanted it, but I feel like our eyes are really focused on these next two games.
So you guys wrap up your game. You watch the men's game. They get that chance to cut on the nets. We talked about that there with Byron. You guys have won 20 games on the season. It's been a terrific year to this point. How much do you use that net cutting down ceremony to be some motivation for you guys? You came here to do that, successful high school careers, and there's still more opportunities for that for this women's basketball team down the road. What's the mindset there?
Yeah, I feel like we've definitely gotten to see what the men's team has done the past however many years, and so I feel like our eyes are just on them, and it's like, okay, we know that we can do good in the conference tournament, and then that'll help us in regionals and stuff like that. So I feel like they've kind of paved the way, and so we know the steps that we have to take, and we're ready to do it.
Byron, we see 2,200 people inside Bearcat Arena for that game on Saturday, the largest crowd of the year at Northwest Missouri State. I couldn't imagine, because I'm not necessarily a person that performs well in the clutch or in front of people, but to step out in that environment, walk me through what that's like and to get a win there.
Honestly, I love whenever it's a packed game. It just motivates me. It motivates the team. It kind of gets us fired up, you know, just to get out there and do our best for everyone who came out to support us.
Now the Bearcats going on the road to Edmond, Oklahoma, a game on Thursday coming up. Women start at 5:30 against Central Oklahoma, the men at 7:30. And we'll start with you again, Byron. This has been a bit of a rivalry over the years between these two teams, but UCO has kind of fallen on hard times. We see Northwest deal with some early losses and then injuries and then bounce back from it. UCO hasn't quite had that same resolve, but you know with Northwest in town, they're going to be up for this game. How do you approach this one against the Broncos?
You know, in the past couple of years when we go to Edmond, it's always a hard environment to play in just because, you know, the atmosphere there is just very, very just hostile in a way, but like it's for us, you know, we go down there with the mindset that we haven't won there in a couple of years, just like how we lost to Emporia, you know. So we just have to go in there and play our basketball, our game, and then we'll be able to come out with the victory.
You know, we see Emporia is a tough place to go, Fort Hayes at the same time too. Where does UCO rank among the toughest in the MIAA? Is it the crowd, or is it obviously the team on the other side's pretty good too?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, the crowd always gets involved. It gets kind of rough, you know, chippy. And then also, you know, the UCO is a great team. They're well coached.
Peyton, from the women's side of things, Northwest has had success down in Oklahoma. I think Coach Myers only lost where once in his entire throughout his entire career. What is it about these long road trips that we have seen this women's basketball team play some of its best basketball when they are far away from home?
Yeah, I feel like the road trips are always fun. I mean, on the court, obviously, and then off the court, too, just bonding with your teammates and everything. And I feel like this game we're extra excited about just because they did beat us on our home court. So I feel like it's just a good chance for us to go beat them on their home court.
You know, one of the last times we saw Northwest go on the road there against Emporia State, you got things rolling 4-for-4 from three-point range, and it just feels like this is a team that does have so many different players. Once one person steps up, it becomes contagious. Do you feel that little bit on the court? A couple go down, everybody's joining in.
Yeah, I feel like we feed off each other really well, and one person starts hitting their shots, and like you said, it's contagious for everyone on the team. So I feel like kind of just using that rhythm from everyone just to get everyone involved and you're making sure we just keep our confidence up.
And Lindsay, as we look at it, Northwest with UCO on Thursday, then Missouri Southern on Saturday. We don't look too far ahead, but there's a chance the Bearcats go and win both of these games. You're getting the 2 seed in the MIAA tournament. It's big for region rankings, as you mentioned. How do you kind of compartmentalize? All right, we got to take this game by game, possession by possession. You look too far down the road, it obviously can be a negative.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And so I think our team is definitely focusing right now just on the UCO game because we have to win that, and then we'll focus on the Southern game after that. So I feel like we're all in good spirits, and we're all just ready to go and do what we can to get the win.
Bearcat basketball on the road this week with UCO and Missouri Southern. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us, and good luck this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Byron Alexander from the men's basketball team, Lindsay and Peyton Kelderman joining us from the women's basketball team, as once again Northwest will be taking on Central Oklahoma coming up on Thursday. That'll wrap things up for us here on the KXCV Maryville, KLRNW Chillicothe Bearcat Coaches Show. That'll be a 5 o'clock pregame for the women's game coming up on Thursday and a 5:30 tip-off. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long from the Palms.